Well, good morning and welcome. Welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those worshiping via the live stream. It is good to see each one of you here today as we worship the one true living God. John 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word, Jesus, was with God, and the Word, Jesus, was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We are here to worship God, praising him and honoring him for his sacrifice that he gave us, Jesus, which is the light of the world. And that light cannot be put out. That light cannot be overcome by darkness. So praise God this morning for who he is and what he has done for us and how he has changed us. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, there is nothing beyond your wisdom and your power. In your great mercy, you gave us Jesus, and then you went farther and gave us your Holy Spirit. We thank you. We are gathered here to worship you this morning. We turn over our burdens, our worries, our stress, and our sins to you, asking for forgiveness. Receive our worship this morning. Speak to our hearts and our souls, and fill us to full and overflowing with your Spirit. Give us a joy that cannot be shaken, and a hope that is firm and secure as we stand on Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise. There from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder.
Take the offering during the next song, and I also invite the children to bring their coins up for my coins count. Looks like the tube is not filled very much because we forgot about it the last couple of times, so just invite you to offer your offerings at this time.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my
invite you to join me for prayer. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you continuously pour out upon us and for the way that you meet our needs before we even recognize that we have a need. Lord, we are here because of you. Help us to carry you with us and an awareness of your presence everywhere we go. We just thank you for the opportunity to share so that others can be blessed, that ministry can happen in our community, that leaders can be grown, can be challenged, and can be called forth for the expansion of your kingdom. And we just ask that you would guide and direct Eric as he shares this morning, grant him clarity of thought and speech and attentiveness to your Holy Spirit. Help us to receive what you have for us, and not to just hear and say that's a great sermon, but that we would allow you to change what we value so that it's in alignment with you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Audrey's coming forward right now to just share a couple things about Lauren and Kenya. So then we're going to have a prayer for that time.
All right, so Anne asked me if I would share a little bit about Lauren and her week. And at the time I told her I didn't have a whole lot of details. I've received a couple pictures, this being one of them. Looks like she's having a good time. I had received another one of her with a bunch of the Kenyan youth, and she looked very, very warm, so I think it was pretty hot. We also got a video of them singing, and it was pouring outside, so she's had a little bit of weather, I'll say. The first week, this past week, had been really busy, long days. She talked about, I think she was up at 6:45 and didn't go to bed till 11:45 or something like that. So long, busy days. I texted her yesterday. We've been very thankful that she's had service and we've been able to communicate a little bit. And I said, is there anything you would like me to share? I don't want to take away her thunder because she'll share a whole lot more when she gets back. But she said, how about this? There were about 100 salvations in that week. They've seen and felt the Lord working in ways hard to describe. This team is incredibly unified in a way I've never experienced. So she wants you to know, thank you for the prayers that you've given so far, your support, and she's very excited to share some more. And just a little bit about her itinerary. Well, I did just receive a video, which I'm not going to play now. They're on a safari this morning. She was hoping to see a hippo. They didn't see a hippo. They, however, did meet an elephant or two who were not real happy about them traveling by. So I have this video of this elephant, coming towards them. But they got past safely, so that's good. They are in the middle, like yesterday they traveled to Voi, Kenya, kind of for debriefing. They're going to be there tonight yet, which they're 7 hours ahead of us. So for them, it's late in the day. And then tomorrow they're traveling, I think it's about 4 or 5 hours to Mombasa, and they'll have some chances to do some things in the Indian Ocean. My prayer, she's talking about scuba diving. I don't know. There's also jet skiing and snorkeling and some other things. So my prayer is that for safety for them. And then on Thursday, I believe it'll be May 2nd, our time, around lunchtime, they're going to be flying from Mombasa to Nairobi. That's Thursday around lunchtime. And then they'll be flying from Nairobi at 4:30 our time and getting to JFK 7:30 Friday morning. So prayers for safety and flights and travels and all that would be appreciated. And thank you all. I really do appreciate everybody's prayers and your support for her. It's been a blessing to see her grow. Thank you.
I also, the people that went to Florida on the MDS trip did not see any hippos either, I don't think, but heard that they had a beneficial, productive time, so it's good to have them back again as well.
And also just want to remember the people who were baptized on Friday night, new believers, and for new decisions that were made that night as well. So we're just going to take a moment to lift up these new believers. Lord, we just pray earnestly for your work that you are beginning, and we just pray that you would deeply strengthen the faith of these new believers. Fill their hearts with love for you, and we also ask that you would surround them with people who love them and will disciple them, and we pray that you would put within them a passion to lead others to faith in you as well. Just thank you for the work that you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our God is an awesome God. He's strong, powerful, and undefeated. Nothing compares to his wisdom, his majesty, or his holiness. There's no one like him.
And yet, he is personal. He is the God of mercy who rescues us when we humbly call out to him. He invites us to call him Father. He calls us his own and holds us close in his heart.
Just invite you to stand as we worship a holy God.
Who else commands all the hosts of heaven? Who else could make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness tremble? Only a holy God. What other beauty demands such praise? Splendor outshines the sun. What other majesty rules with justice? Only a holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only. Forever. rescue, and I want to be where you are. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy.
Jesus showed us God's awesome power.
And his very personal love for us. Hebrews says that Jesus always lives to intercede for us.
Change, a word to hate, a word to love, a word that evokes so many emotions and feelings. Fear and excitement all swirled together in one. The same fears, doubts, and feelings of anxiety swirl hard and strong within. The selfish part of me cries out to go to my comfortable place of the things I know, the routine, the knowable outcomes, the things I can control and anticipate. But I know that's not where growth happens. God gives us seasons of rest, then calls us onward on the journey with him. A journey so intimate that he lives and pleads for me. My name is not only written in his hands, it is carved there. My name is written on his heart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look to my Savior who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is free. God was satisfied, and I looked to him to pardon me. My soul was purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. As we sing this next song, my name is graven on his hands. Soak up the words, letting them soothe your soul. Listen for how great and powerful our God is, yet so personal.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. The great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no power can force me to depart. No power can force me to depart. When Satan tempts me to despair, and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sins. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with my Lord, I cannot die. My soul is purchased with his blood. My life is safe with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. My Savior and my God. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise the one risen Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. The great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me.
Father in heaven, we just honor you today for making that way for us to be right with you. And we just thank you for the words of faith, the words of testimony, and the people who are coming to know you because of our testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. Did you guys have a good week this week? Yeah. Kind of. Uh-oh. What happened to you? You broke your collarbone. Well, that can be frustrating and hurt a little bit, but you know what? Bones heal, and you will get better, and because God has created us that way, that our bodies can heal. And I'll pray for you later as we close our children's message. So I like to grow stuff in the garden, and I have ever since I was a kid. I have a picture somewhere of me working in the garden with my grandfather many, many years ago. And so I really enjoy working in the garden, but do you know what my favorite plant is? Tomato plant? Nope. Carrots? No. No, not a cucumber. Jalapeno? No. I do like growing hot peppers and stuff like that. This actually you don't grow in the garden. But it's the Venus flytrap. That is my favorite plant. You don't grow it in the garden, but I've always been fascinated by that plant as a kid. I've never owned one. I guess maybe I should get one and put it on my desk, and I think that would be kind of neat. Did you know they actually don't have to eat bugs to survive? They get their nutrients like regular plants, but they can eat insects to help give them extra nutrients. The part of the plant that traps the insects is brightly colored. It's so they think it's a flower, and it has a nectar that it produces. It's so it tricks the insects to walking on the plant. And so a fly or another bug will come because they smell the nectar and they see the bright colors, and they get lured into thinking that it's a place where they can get food. And so the insect's in there, and there's little hairs inside the plant, and when the insect brushes against those hairs more than once, because if it's just once, the plant doesn't want to waste all that energy and close, so it has to be more than once, because it wants live insects, because if the insect is dead, it can actually be harmful for the plant. And so the insect triggers the plant, and it goes most of the way shut. And the plant is still trying to figure out if it's good food source or not. So once that bug keeps moving around, it sees that it's alive, and then it seals up even farther, and then it starts to digest the bug that's in there. So those insects are lured in because it looks good, it smells good, it seems like a good place for food, but it's a deadly trap. And we get lured into things that are not good for us, just like flies get lured into the Venus flytrap. And maybe that's some of the reason why I like this plant so much, because it's a lesson for us that we can be tempted and we can be lured into things that are not good for us, and we can be trapped. Listen to James 1, 14 and 15. Each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. Then after desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. So like the fly trap, sin, it lures us in and it wants to trap us. It might look good, it might smell good, but sin can hurt us in many ways. Maybe someone is doing something to make you angry. They're making fun of you and you get angry, right? So what should you do? Should you walk away? So you get like this? Do you guys look like that when you get angry? Does your hair stick up like that? No? Are you sure? Did you ever look in a mirror when you were angry? Sometimes your hair looks like that? Well. So we have some choices when we get angry, right? We can let that anger grow in us. We can let it grow in us, and then volcano happens. We let it out in a bad way. We could walk away and pretend it didn't happen. And maybe, is that such a good thing, pretending something didn't happen? No, not necessarily, right? We could walk away because we're angry till we calm down. And then we could go back and talk to that person who made us angry, right? Or if we don't have opportunity to talk to that person, we can go back. Well, after we walked away and we calmed down, we can go to God. And we can ask God to help us. And we can ask God to help us forgive that person, even if they don't ask for it. And so that's healthy for us. There, see, the praying. We can go to our parents or an adult and say, I'm really angry at this person. I'm really struggling with this. Can you pray with me? And asking God to help makes a big difference in our lives. See, sin and anger can be a trap, waiting for you to step in, and then it has you. But what we do when we're angry makes a big difference. Because the Bible says, it doesn't say don't get angry. The Bible says don't sin when you're angry. So make sure you're not lured away and get stuck in a trap like the Venus flytrap or this trap in the picture. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack and head back to your seats. If you didn't, there's an extra block in there. If you didn't get one the other week, you may choose to take one. I'm sorry, I forget your name.
Jacob.
I should have known that. Actually, I did know that. I just forgot. So will you join me in prayer? We're going to pray for Jacob and all the children up here. Dear Lord, I just pray that you bring swift healing to Jacob. I just pray that his collarbone will heal and that he won't have any pain. I just pray that he will be able to feel your presence and be with all the children here. Pour a blessing upon them. And I just pray that they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior and that you would draw them into a close relationship. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can have a snack over there. It's on the bench. There's many different things in there. You can just choose one. So I'd like to invite Eric forward, if he can weave his way through the children. And I'll have a prayer for him, and then turn this service over to him. Do you need... Well, most of us know who Eric is. He's our bishop. He's my boss. he's also my friend. I enjoy meeting with him. We have good conversations over the schooling I'm doing, what's going on in our church, and ways that we can work together to build God's kingdom. And it's truly a blessing to work with Eric. All the wisdom and encouragement I receive is good. So I'd like to pray for you, Eric, and then I'll leave you to bring the message. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will fill Eric with a boldness this morning. I just pray that as he brings the message, our ears and our eyes and our hearts will be open to what you have for us. Speak to us. I just thank you for your provision for our church and bringing Eric to this bishop role. I just pray a blessing on him and his family as he ministers over many churches. Give him strength and wisdom this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings to you, Eric.
Thanks, Tim. Well, it's good to see everyone again this morning. I saw in your bulletin, and thank you for having it in there, a bishop who had preceded me, Irvin Lee Martin, passed away last week, and so his viewing is tomorrow and funeral on Tuesday. That will be at Gaiman's, the funeral. Viewing tomorrow will be at Landis Homes. But Irvin had served faithfully at Gaiman's, and then served as a bishop for, I believe, 8 years. 8 years as a bishop. And so he'll be missed by family and friends. Also want to let you know that as a district, we are working at a project. And Brian Martin, my bishop of my home congregation of Blainsport, but a bishop on the bishop team, he took some time and went to Cuba, and in Cuba, there are 9 LMC congregations there, and found many of them are in need of food, as the whole island is. I mean, Cuba, you see on the news, they're starving. But seeing so many of these leaders and church members of LMC, and just his heart saying, we've got to help them. So he's working at getting together a way to ship some food, ship some supplies down there, some of those basic things that they need that they don't have. He tells the interesting stories of some of the church leaders when they met with them, because he was down in Cuba, got to meet with them. They had some meat on the table. That was the first meat they had for a year, many of those pastors. And he said, this can't be. MCC is able to get some aid into the country, but that aid's not reaching those LMC churches. And so Brian is trying to get together a cargo container and trying to find an organization to work through to get that supply into Cuba. It's not easy getting into Cuba. There's an embargo there between the United States and Cuba. And so trying to find a ministry that can make that happen. MCC has allowed 4 containers a year that they get in there, but not reaching our folks. So we want to try to get it directly to LMC. So Tony and the team here will keep you updated. And as we find out more, we'll let you know. And certainly there could be financial support or actual donating some of these non-perishable items, canned goods, that sort of thing. So we'll keep in touch. So this morning, Tony asked me if I would join with the team in this sermon series on conflict resolution, and I see the signs up here. And I was glad to do that. Thank you, Tony, for pulling together sermon series. I had preached for a number of years just individual sermons. And I'd always have somebody after the service say, well, you didn't touch on this. And it was like, well, first of all, the passage didn't really lend itself to speak on that. But secondly, it's such a big topic, I couldn't hit it all. And so I started to form series. And so there's just some wisdom in using series that you can be on a topic for a longer time. And this with conflict resolution, it makes sense. So Tony assigned to me Acts 15, verses 36 through 41. That's a Sunday school lesson in the adult class today. So you have some background, I hope, coming into this. But Acts 15, 36 through 41, there's some tension. Paul and Barnabas, they're divided. And so there's a division that takes place. And I thought, Tony, this is a perfect passage to preach in a Mennonite church. A division and a split. We have a history of that, don't we? And it's not just Mennonites. It's all denominations. But Mennonites, we seem to have mastered this. I mean, there are theological differences, and we split. There's new churches that's developed out of splits because of theology. And let me tell you, there are times that there are some theological issues that need the split. I mean, you can't stick together when we're talking about essential things of the faith and a departing of that. There needs to be splits. But there are some times that the splits may be over requirements and over preferences. And so I know over the years there have been things like dress codes, the type of singing that takes place in churches, and it divides. We can't be together, and so there's a split over that. Or personality. That's a big reason for a split, isn't it, in churches? I don't know how many times I hear people leaving a church because they can't stand their pastor. And it's a personality difference. There's just a problem there, and it's not just between the pastor. It could be you and somebody else in the congregation, and we just can't go to the same church as those folks. Or it could be not approaching the mission that God has for your church in a like-minded way. One person says, no, we should do it this way. No, this is a priority. We need to do it this way, and soon you have the same mission, but a different emphasis, and then there's this splitting apart. Ken, we went to step with Roger Schmell, Deep Run East or West, one of the two. And he tells the history of his church that they had a mission, but there were some preferences and there were some differences in how they actually live out that mission, that part of the congregation, they decided they were going to leave the church and start a new church. So they walked across the road, and they built another church building on the other side of the road. So now there is Deep Run East because they're on the east side of the road, and Deep Run West because they're on the west side of the road. Same heart. They want to be in mission for God. They want to be reaching their community, but they just couldn't see eye to eye on some particulars. So you have two different churches. So we come here in Acts. Acts 15, verse 36. And we realize that sometime later, it's recorded here, sometime later, and that's after even the Jerusalem Council had taken place, sometime later, Paul and Barnabas said, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia, and he had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Now get this, the church commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. So they were sent by the church, even after this division. So Paul went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. You know, what makes this passage so sad, we see this division here. What makes it so sad is the earlier part of chapter 15 is the Jerusalem Council, and Paul and Barnabas come together with this deep concern for the Gentile Christians. There's a problem happening here. We're trying to make these Gentile Christians Jews before they can become Christians. Paul and Barnabas said that this shouldn't be. There's something really wrong with this. And we need to allow people to come to the Lord. And I'm so glad he did that. I'm so glad that they had that argument before the Jerusalem Council. And the Jerusalem Council, they all listened very carefully. And they came up with this conclusion. In Acts 15, 36, Acts 15, 28, they said this, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You'll do well to avoid these things." That's all. Put your life on the right path. Now, don't bow to idols. Don't look to idols. Don't get wrapped up in that, because your life, you're coming out of idol worship, so don't do it anymore. And the sexual immorality, abandon that, and you'll do well. You don't need to do all these other requirements of the law, because we're not trying to make you Jewish first. And so they had that argument. They made that argument, and there was great unity in the church. They all came together and said, "Yes, this is the way that it should be. Go and tell that message to our Gentile brothers and sisters." And so they're ready to go out and do that. And as they're ready to go and do that, there emerges this disagreement and this separation. How sad. How sad. How sad it is in our churches today when we're on the same page and then there's a disagreement and we separate. We conquer some big things, and then the little thing comes up, and it separates us. How sad. And that's where Paul and Barnabas are here, this separation. But in spite of, and in the midst of this disagreement, this separation, these Christians disagreeing, they're separating. We see that God ultimately works good, and he works his own purposes out. Isn't that great? I feel such relief when I hear that. When I mess up, God still carries through his purposes and his plans. I'm not going to hold God back in what he wants to accomplish. And here, God, in the midst of these disagreements, he's going to use this separation. And he's done that in Mennonite churches over the years. Deep Run East, Deep Run West. They're on different sides of the road, but they're still reaching people they wouldn't have reached had they not separated. And so God does some pretty amazing things. And so as I look at this passage, I see here sometimes conflict happens between believers. Sometimes believers don't get along. Sometimes we have arguments. Sometimes there's confrontation and there's conflict. Sometimes that happens. And here we see there's this choice that they're trying to make. Paul and Barnabas, should Mark be disqualified? He left us. I don't know why. Was he a coward? Did he fear going to jail? Was he homesick? Was there problems back home? I don't know exactly what the problems were, but he abandoned us. And so should he be disqualified or should he be restored? And Paul's on one side of this. He's disqualified. Barnabas is on the other side. Let's restore him. Let's bring him back. Let's empower him to do the work of the Lord. And we see that Paul, he just balks at the idea of taking Mark with them. And so Barnabas, he wants to do it, but Paul said, no, can't make this happen. Paul presumably considers Mark unfit for ministry. He's not good enough. He doesn't have it together. He's just not going to represent well. Now, Barnabas, on the other hand, he sees the grace of the Lord. And he wants to extend that grace of the Lord to Mark. And he says, we've got to bring him back in. This young man has a whole future ahead of him. Let's bring him back in. Let's equip him to do the work. Let's send him out. Let's trust in him again. And I love how scholar Kent Hughes states it in his commentary on Acts. He says, our judgment goes with Paul, but our hearts go with Barnabas. Paul probably is right. He's not quite ready to be sent out yet. But our hearts go with Barnabas. Let's bring him under our wings and help him out and show him the way. Let's disciple him. And so with that argument, is he disqualified or should we bring him on board again? The disagreement and this split, it happens. And Barnabas, he goes with Mark to Cyprus. Paul takes Silas. And these giants of the faith, these giants, they have a conflict. And they split. Gives me hope. As followers of Christ, we may have disagreements. We may have arguments. It gives me hope to know that even these giants who couldn't resolve their conflict, God still used them. We're human just like them. And God can still do some things. And so in this separation for the sake of ministry, Paul does his thing. Barnabas does his thing. They're getting the word out. The gospel is being spread. Notice, after the argument, they didn't just say, going to throw in the towel, going to give up on ministry, not going to do anything. Man, if that doesn't just bug me in the church today. How many times somebody has a problem with somebody else in the church, and so I'm not going to go to church anymore. I'm just going to quit. I'll stay at home, and it'll be just me and Jesus. And man, that bugs me when I hear that. That's not how Paul and Barnabas were. They were saying, no, we can't work together, but we're going to still work for the ministry of the Lord, for the mission of the Lord. We're still moving forward. They still had a calling, and they didn't give up on that calling. Brothers and sisters, if you are at the place to say, I can't get along with somebody in the church, don't throw in the towel. The Lord still has something for you. Don't just say, I quit the church and I quit Christianity. No, the Lord still is causing you to go into his work and into his ministry. He doesn't give up on you. And sometimes separation becomes, there comes a point where we do need to separate, but the ministry needs to go on. And we sometimes want to mourn the loss of a relationship, and we never move on. Now, don't get me wrong, we should work at reconciliation. If you have a problem with a brother or sister, you have a problem with somebody in the church, try to resolve it. Do whatever you can. Reconciliation between spouses and in the family, everyone under your own roof, that comes first. That comes before you even pursue any other ministry. If you don't have things right with your spouse, get things right with your spouse. That is important. Don't hear me saying today, well, Eric said separation is okay sometimes, and maybe we ought to divorce. That's foolishness. I'm not saying that. So I just want to be on the record. You're not hearing Eric say, just separate from your spouse. Get things right. Get things right with your children who are under your own roof. But there may be some extended family that you come to the point and you say, well, we're not seeing eye to eye here. Maybe we have to go and we do have to split for the sake of ministry. Maybe there's those times that you can't compromise, and you just need to go about a different ministry, and maybe it's the Lord's way of getting you out of a comfortable situation. How many churches feel comfortable with one another, but they never engage in the ministry? I think sometimes the Lord allows some of this conflict to emerge just to get us moving again, rather than just sitting in our churches. And so those not under your roof, if a point comes that there needs to be a separation, maybe there does need to be a separation, and God will carry his ministry through you for the sake of the ministry. Maybe there's a separation. New ministries have formed because of some splits. And I'm even thankful. I drive around Lancaster County, and I can go to so many different places. There's a Mennonite church. There's a Mennonite church. There's a Mennonite church. The ministry got carried forward because of some of these splits. Now, you hope some of the healing happened after those splits, maybe years later. But I'm glad because of some of those splits, new ministries, new churches emerge. But we must never resort to name-calling. After we do split, after we do move apart from one another, after you do decide, I maybe should start something different. No name-calling, but rather bless one another in that leaving. I get to watch these congregations from Berks County leaving ACC. Five of them now are part of our district. I get to watch them. And they had big theological differences, and they needed to split. They couldn't stay with ACC anymore. There were just some essential matters that they couldn't do it anymore. But as they left, I didn't see this name-calling, and there was some disappointment. You know, we wanted to stay part of that group, but that group went a different way. There wasn't name-calling. There wasn't cursing one another. But there came a place that we're going to pray for you, we're going to bless you, that God would open your eyes, or God would open our eyes, that God would give us fruitful ministry because we would be obedient to him and his word. And I'm learning a lot from those churches. They're not name-calling. They're not rehashing differences. They're parting ways so that the Lord can do ministry through those congregations. I believe that our sovereign God, he works through our disagreements. And despite the disagreements, despite the separation, God still used Paul and Barnabas. Despite all the disagreement, the sharp disagreement that we're told about here in Scripture. And so Paul and Silas went on to fruitful ministry. Barnabas and Mark went on to fruitful ministry in telling that gospel story. And it highlights God's ability to work through human disagreements, doesn't it? God can work through our disagreements. He wants to. Back at Blainsport a few years ago now, had a young leader that I was working with, not quite half my age, but much younger than me. And he was a newer believer, and he just had this idea of church. And it's a good idea of church, much like the first century church, meeting together regularly, and I tried to do that. But at some point, I found I wasn't meeting together quite as regularly as he wanted. I mean, he could see us in each other's homes every night and having dinner, and I had other churches other church members that I was interacting with, and so he didn't quite get the attention that he wanted as he was desiring to grow. And he had leadership qualities all over him. And I had high hopes that one day I would see him called as an associate pastor at Blainsport. But with the neglected relationship and him starting to drink from a different theological well, there came a place where we just weren't seeing eye to eye anymore. And he decided for the good of the church that he would move on. It was time for him to leave. And it seemed like a major explosion at the time. There was great disappointment. There was pain. Especially, you know, as I look back at it, it's like, oh, man, if we could have just made things work out, we could have stayed together, and Blainsport would have an associate pastor coming up through. Yet I look at it today, and I believe that God was using that situation, and he's using that young man today in ministry, that he would have never been able to use him under my leadership at Blainsport. And so that disagreement led to a parting, but now he's much more fruitful because of that parting. And I can only praise the Lord. Thank you that he didn't stay under me. Because at times, perhaps I can be a stronger leader and just push myself on somebody else. And this gave him some freedom to explore. And so our sovereign God, he can work through those disputes. And he can work through those times of division. Now, all of this said, I knowing that at times there can be good that comes out of splits and disagreements, I want to tell you, don't give up on hope of redemption and reconciliation. Don't stop praying for the brother or sister that you're in disagreement with. Don't give up on that relationship just when you part ways. Despite the initial disagreement here with Paul and Barnabas, there's evidence that there's reconciliation that took place later on. At least it took place between Paul and Mark. We have those verses, Colossians 4:10. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. And so Mark is right there in ministry with Paul. He's back. They kind of went over what went wrong, and here they are. They're working together. And in 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me, Paul writes. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful in my ministry. And here, Paul's saying, I need him now. This guy that I couldn't work with before, I need him. And so don't give up. Don't give up when there's a conflict and even a separation. Don't give up that there could be redemption, there could be reconciliation in the future. Keep praying to that end. As I close, I have a few observations here. And maybe a few points of advice that I try to apply for myself here. But as I read this passage, I think there are a few things that emerge. The first thing I want to encourage you to do when there's a dispute, a disagreement, is pray for the ability to see the other person's side and not just your own. Do you ever listen to the other person talk when you're in an argument and actually consider what they're saying? I mean, too many times we're just caught in our own thoughts and we keep advancing our own thoughts and you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, and we never listen to another person. This is good inside the church or outside of the church. Pray for the ability that God would enable you to actually hear the other person. I wonder if Paul and Barnabas would have split had they actually listened to one another. Paul was right and Barnabas was right, both at the same time. Boy, if you would have listened together, what would have happened? There's some common sense that might have emerged, but in the heat of an argument, is there any common sense? Not usually. We have anything but common sense in the midst of an argument. And so pray for in the midst of that dispute, God, let me see the person's point of view. Let me hear them. Let me know what they're saying. The second thing is when both sides, they have an issue that they can reasonably support, maybe it would be good to seek a wise compromise. I wonder what could have happened with Paul and Barnabas if they would have compromised and said, I don't know what that compromise could have even been totally, but that we could have still gone on this mission together and still been able to encourage Mark along the way. I wonder what that compromise could have looked like. At one time in my own ministry, the word compromise bordered on heresy. I thought compromise was the worst thing that a Christian can do, and it is in certain situations. But as we're working together in ministry, sometimes there's some wise compromise that can take place. So I encourage you, when you finally listen to the other person's side, when you're hearing their point of view, then come together, and maybe there's some points that you can agree on and even compromise on to move the ministry forward. Now, I would never compromise on essential things. Those essential things of the faith, you can't compromise. Jesus is Jesus. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life. There's no other way to the Father. You can't compromise on that. But you can compromise on things, and I've been doing it. Even styles and methods and preferences. I mean, as long as they're not outside of the Word of God and opposed to God, then compromise, I can do that. Thirdly, if a conflict persists, don't give up. Stay at it. Give it a little bit more time. I think it looks very quick to me that Paul and Barnabas decided to split. Give your relationships a little bit more time. When there's a disagreement, take some time and actually try to resolve it. Paul and Barnabas, yeah, they were fast. It was a fight or flight type of thing. And, you know, we kind of take that ourselves. If I don't get my way, I'm going to just leave. And again, like I said, just leaving the church, I see so many people just fleeing from the church because it's either fight or flight. I think you need to do, and I need to do, those difficult things when it comes to restitution and reconciliation. Lastly, having said all these things that really leads toward reconciliation, I would say sometimes there's a conflict that just can't be overcome. And there are times when it is time to take different paths. And then I would say at those moments, trust God that He's going to use whatever the situation is, the brokenness of it, He's going to use it for something good. Trust Him. Trust Him. And maybe years later you'll see reconciliation take place, but trust Him in the moment. And allow Him to use even that brokenness to bring about His good purposes. Let's pray together. God, You're a God of grace and mercy. And at the very same time, You're a God who wants things to go the way You want things to go. It's not just about do something and hope God forgives me. But it's a thing of, God, we want to partner with You knowing that we're walking in Your way and yet showing grace and mercy to others who may not be walking side by side with us. And so today, Lord, we thank You for Your salvation, Your care for us, Your calling and equipping us with the Spirit and calling us into ministry. And we ask, too, that You would forgive us when we end up in disagreements on how to experience and to give Your grace to the lost and dying world. Do ask that You teach us to appreciate one another. But Lord, in those moments when there is the separation, when there is that divide, and we know there's no coming back from it, I ask that You would help us to still focus on You, moving forward and saying, I'm not going to give up on this good ministry that You have. Lord, cause us to stay seated longer than we normally would stay seated in an argument. But at the same time, when it's clear it's time to separate, then give us the boldness and the readiness to do that. And Lord, we want to trust You both in the moment of reconciliation, and we want to trust You even in the separation, that Your will be done among us. Lord, cause us to be a blessing and not a curse. Lord, help us to lay aside, even as Tony talked about here today, some of the anger that we may experience instead of resorting to violence and resorting to hatred. Allow that anger to do something in us and change something in us. Allow that to happen in us, Lord. Lord, we realize this is a difficult topic, yet we see these giants of the faith struggling with it. And as we struggle with it, Lord, I ask that You would pour out Your grace on us and Your wisdom to know what to do in this situation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Debbie, could you put Romans 8:34 up? There's two scriptures we want to read together as a group. I just invite you to stand as we read these scriptures together and then sing Christ the Solid Rock. So we'll read, say the reference together and then the verses. Romans 8:34. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Romans 8:38-39. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to veil his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant and blood support me. All around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clad in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
I have one very quick announcement and then the benediction. There is a note in your bulletin about the ballots being sent out for Brian's affirmation for another term as youth pastor. They're going to be mailed to you, and you may submit them by putting them in the ballot boxes, or the electronic option will be on those ballots as well. So will you stand for the parting benediction? May God bless you and fill you with a deeper love and wisdom and knowledge of who he is. May he watch over you and protect you. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.